Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Great to see everyone this morning. A few more folks. And it is the last Sunday of August. Where did the month go? September will be next week. But welcome to worship. We're at Trinity United Church of Christ, where whoever you are or wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. In your bulletin, you'll notice that there's a blood drive this week, and then in a couple of weeks, the Women's Guild will meet, and later in the month, Emmanuel Lutheran Hill Church of Du Bois will hold their annual homecoming in the afternoon. We're doing great with our collections, and there might be some other information you'd like to share with one another. This is the time to do it. I see Marianne's got something. Okay. Yes.
Well, this is a trial. This is a trial, evidently.
It now, is.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There's still 2 cases of water left, in case anyone wants to take some home for a free will offering. That is from the Strassenfest. Plus, there are still 5 gallons of ice cream in the deep freeze, and we're asking $5 for those. So if you want to take some of that home, fine. This is your last chance to pick up a free book out in the foyer. We're going to be taking them away. And do you know what the, what's the food for the food bank this next month? Do you remember?
Oh,
paper products. So next Sunday you can bring paper products for the food bank. I think that's all I have.
Is that right?
Now that you made me come all the way up here, yes.
Oh, I want to call your attention to an insert in your bulletin. I've had some requests for some different music, so this is your opportunity. If you've got favorite hymns or songs that you love to sing and we haven't sung them yet, then take this opportunity and write down either the title of the hymn, or if you don't know it, maybe a line of the chorus. And if it is in the hymnal, maybe find the number. If it is not, we'll work with that. And be sure and tell me who you are and how I can get in touch with you if I have a question. So you can put these either in the offering box, or just leave them on your pew and we'll look for them. So does this make sense to folks? Okay, you've done it before, so you can do it again, and we won't even make it tradition where, you know, once we do it, that's the way we've always done it. We'll avoid that. So let's share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I invite you to stand and let's sing from an insert in your bulletin. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall hear. stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To they that overcome, a crown of life shall be.
Please remain standing and let us responsively enjoy our invitation to worship. Our God invites us to worship, even during times when we struggle to cope with life's challenges. Our Savior invites us to come and worship our God, who stands ready to heal our pain and release us from negative emotions. God's Holy Spirit invites us to share God's grace, healing, and forgiveness with those who struggle and are filled with pain and longing. Amen. And together in unison, let's recite our morning prayer. Lift us up, O God, as you lifted the bent over woman in the synagogue. Deliver us from pessimistically looking at the floor as though we have no hope in you, or as though you cared nothing about us. Lift us up above the scowls of our critics and their loud pronouncements about the present and future. Remind us, even on the bleakest of days, you hold us, our families, our jobs, and everything about our future in your hands. Remind us you love us unconditionally. Comfort us to look beyond what we see today, what we overheard yesterday, and what we fear about tomorrow. Lift us up, O God, and give us your power to walk upright again. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and we don't really, you're going to miss the Glory Bound Trio. And I'm sorry about that, but you can always come back to the late service and enjoy them. But now we have our scripture.
From Luke 13, 10 to 17. He was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There was a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She had been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. "Woman, you're free." He laid hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. The meeting place president, furious because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the congregation, "6 days have been defined as work days. Come on one of the six if you want to be healed, but not on the seventh, the Sabbath." But Jesus shot back, "You frauds! Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years?" When he put it that way, his critics were left looking quite silly and red-faced. The congregation was delighted and cheered him on.
May God bless that reading as well as your hearing. It is indeed God's holy word. There she was again, stooped and bent over not more than 3 feet tall, always walking, if you could call it walking, with her arms resting on her knees for support, adding extra weight then to her already overburdened limbs. She had been that way as long as I could remember, always crouching, sometimes stumbling, not able to see where she was going because, well, her eyes were always looking down. In fact, all she ever saw were feet and dirt and stones. Imagine never being able to see the blue sky or the sunlight or fluffy clouds or the faces of children and family members and friends. I'd watched her for years, wanting to reach out to her, yet I refrained. See, I just didn't know what to say or how to act. She was always alone. Did she live alone? And if so, where? Did anyone care for or about her? Were her parents alive? Who and where were they? Did she have brothers and sisters? Or was she a widow, able to receive assistance from the temple treasury? Did she have children or a spouse? Or how did she survive on a daily basis? How did she eat meals and get dressed every day? So many questions crossed my mind. Now, as a child, I remember seeing her at synagogue every Sabbath and being curious about her even then. There weren't many adults who were as short as children. And my friends and I always noticed how small and deformed she appeared. Everything about her was out of proportion, as if she had been bent out of shape. Our parents avoided our questions and told us to keep still and quiet. And over the years, I'd done just that. But every time I watched her across the temple courtyard, I longed to satisfy my curiosity and befriend her in some way. I mean, she must be lonely. And I'd heard stories about an accident of her being trapped under falling rocks in a mountain landslide. And I wondered how she could have survived such a horrible experience. Some said that she or someone in her family was being punished by God, so we shouldn't interfere. And others said demons controlled her body, so we should stay away from her. Well, I really didn't know what to think. I only wished I could help her because she looked so pitiful. Was she in pain? As we waited for the service to begin that day, the rabbi named Jesus came into the area where she was crouched during the teaching hour. And he greeted everyone. And as he approached me, only one thought consumed my mind. The woman. Take him to the woman. As he reached out his hand to me, I couldn't even speak. I just fell at his feet pleading, "Oh, sir, please." The woman in the back corner stooped and crippled. "Can you help her?" He immediately looked around the room until his eyes fell upon her. And I looked up at him and saw compassion in his eyes. I saw what had been in my heart for years. He asked someone her given name, and they told him it was Ophia. And then he called out, speaking her name loudly, as he walked toward her. My heart was racing with excitement as I followed him. He knelt, and then he laid down on the floor to look up at her face to face, eye to eye. "Daughter of Abraham," he said, "you are now free of your infirmity." He reached out his hands and he placed them on her shoulders, which is the traditional pose of blessing. And slowly, they stood up together, arm in arm. She stood straight, for the first time in 18 years. Tears filled her eyes as she realized what had happened. And then Jesus stepped back, so she stood alone. Joy flooded her being as she began to praise God and voice her thanksgiving. I will never forget that day. My silent prayers of longing for this woman had been answered. And, you know, Jesus never said anything about demons or sins or anything like that. He simply freed her and lifted her above her burdens and took whatever had kept her physically and emotionally in bondage, restricting her movement, her inability to see what lay ahead of her and her future. To God be the glory. Well, evidently we made too much noise because the top synagogue official came to see what was going on. And once he had the story, well, he caused his own scene, ranting about how God gave us 6 days to work and one day to rest. And if someone wanted to be healed, that one could come to the temple any other day of the week, but not on the Sabbath. We can hardly believe our ears. Talk about being bent out of shape. He was so angry, he could hardly control his actions. Instead of rejoicing that she had been healed and restored, he was full of criticism and judgment. Who was he upset with anyway? What did it matter that Jesus had healed this woman on the Sabbath? What was so wrong with that? And Jesus quietly asked the official, "Tell me, don't you, even on the Sabbath, untie your oxen from the manger and let them loose, lead them to water so they can drink? And don't you agree then, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 years, that she should be loosed even on the Sabbath?" Who could argue with that? And all the other synagogue officials kind of sheepishly turned away, and we just continued our celebration. But that was the day I met Jesus, and I saw the depth of his love and compassion for common people like you and me. And he came to one who could not, no matter what she tried, straighten herself up to stand up straight. Her problem was physically evident, yet when I became his follower, I saw more people, many more people, who no matter what they tried, could not straighten up their lives. Some weren't able to stay sober, and some couldn't behave morally, and others just didn't have the strength to live honorable lives. And then there were those like that synagogue official who were always bent out of shape by constant anger and criticism. They continually found fault and they judged those who were different. He wants to offer those folks alternative ways to think and behave and interact. Just like all of us, they also needed Jesus' touch of healing and love and wholeness. See, he specializes in helping folks stand up straight, let go of negative, hurtful emotions that often keep them bent out of shape and not able to see life with a positive, uplifting perspective. See, Jesus wants us to see, to notice, to focus on all the beauty in the world and in those around us. Jesus spoke to this woman as an individual, calling her by name as a daughter of Abraham, reminding her then that she was a child of God, unique and special in her own right. He healed her, not only her physical infirmity, but also her emotional and her spirituality as well. She She was made completely whole and free from all burdens and situations and circumstances which had previously held her down. Well, despite the criticism and the judgment of the synagogue official, Jesus did what he did without actually breaking the Sabbath, as he was accused of doing. See, according to our tradition, some work was allowed on the Sabbath. For instance, we were allowed to untie our animals and lead them to water, even though we couldn't lift the water in a vessel up to the animal's mouth. Jesus had simply untied or unloosed this woman from her bondage. And to Jesus, she was much more important than a thirsty donkey. Why shouldn't this woman have been healed or set free? See, Jesus' guidelines for healing were based on three elements: what the law allowed, the priority of human need and the preciousness of human life, and God's desire for all people to have health and wholeness, all human beings. Being bent out of shape by negative, hurtful emotions is not only something that happens to individuals, though. It can be a source of pain and confusion, distraction and depression in families and even in congregations. See, when we encounter those who are unable to manage their emotions or to live with positivity, what can we do to influence their health and wholeness and provide them with needed encouragement and care as an impetus to become more healthy? You know, that person telling this story was filled with compassion and desire for that bent over woman. She was curious and cared about the circumstances of her life, and she believed that Jesus could and would help her. She is actually the one who made it possible for Jesus to heal the woman. God calls the church to have compassion for others. God calls the church to want what is best for others. God calls the church to believe and trust Jesus has the power and the desire to heal others and empower them to straighten out their hearts and minds and lives so they can find gladness and peace and joy. And what Jesus did that day, he still wants to do today. He wants to straighten up and lift us up, our hearts, our minds, our souls, remove whatever's keeping us down. He wants to touch our souls and give us the power to live honest, respectable, honorable, moral lives as whole persons, because each one of us is special and unique, important, valued to God and God's kingdom. Jesus has the desire and the power to set us free from whatever has and whatever does bend us out of shape and prevent us from standing straight, able to love and serve God and God's kingdom with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. Sometimes it's our memories of the past, or even our relationships in the present, the uncertainties of our future that keep us down, bent over by the pressures and the heavy expectations of others. And at times we get locked in this cycle of cynicism and criticism, judgment and condemnation. We get bound up by the inflexibility of others and old habit patterns which tend to imprison us and bend us out of shape. And we react rather than respond to difficult people and situations and disappointments. And rather than grow and mature, we become stuck, unable to stretch or to stand up straight and be the blessed people God desires us to be. Let me tell you, Jesus is so ready and willing and able to call each of us by name, to loose whatever restrains us, to look at us face to face, eye to eye, lift us up and straighten out our hearts and lives and give us the power and the peace to stand with God, overflowing with our praise and thanksgiving. Today can be your day to meet Jesus for the first time or to reconnect with him again, just to hear him call each of us by name, to release us from whatever has bent us out of shape. Today can be the day that we find the strength to stand strong in God's promises, to bless us. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Prayer is an important part of our time of worship together. To prepare our hearts and minds, let's sing our hymn of prayer, Jesus, the very thought to me. It's number 507. We'll sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills the breast, but sweeter for thy face to see, and in thy presence dress. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find a kiss, nor tongue or pen can show, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. Jesus, our only joy, be thou, as thou our prize will be. Jesus, be thou our glory now, and through eternity.
What are some joys that you've experienced this past week? Or what are you looking forward to with hope and expectation? Oh, come on, folks. So glad you did, Stephen. We can breathe easily. Yes, yes, yes. I'm looking forward to conversations I'm planning to have this week that will hopefully begin to move the congregation in a direction where we can share more easily with the community. It won't happen overnight, but we are beginning to think about how we can stream our services and see what we need to do for that to be able to take place. I'll also be having conversations about confirmation coming up and Sunday school to start in about 3 weeks. So I'm always looking forward to interacting with folks in the congregation and others in the community that will bring awareness and knowledge and insight. How about the needs and concerns that you bring this morning? Yes? Two accidents, yes. Any others? That's wonderful. What was his first name again?
Logan.
Logan, yes, I remember now. If not, maybe God has placed names and faces or situations and circumstances on your mind and in your heart. And you can pray silently as you sit in your pew and as we pray jointly together. So I want to invite you to take a deep breath and breathe in your awareness of God's presence here in this place. And another deep breath to focus on God's love for you and all people. To know that God wants each of us to be whole and healthy, blessed. And one more deep breath to bind our hearts and our minds together as a family of God here to worship. Most holy, most loving God, here we are, your people. We gathered in this place to worship and to praise and thank you for all the ways that you grace us with your presence, your promises, your power to live. We don't feel worthy of your love that you so freely shower upon us, yet still we hunger and we thirst to receive and experience it on a moment-by-moment basis. So we come to stand before you to receive so that we might be able to transmit all your gifts that you give us to others that we encounter each day. There are times, God, we struggle to remember who you are and all your desire for us in our lives. So in these moments, God, help us to receive your direction and your guidance, to accept and start to trust in all the amazing plans that you have in store for our future as individuals, as families, and also as a congregation. Bless us so you can use us to enlarge your kingdom and to build your church right here in this time and place. We also come this morning, God, to lift up those who were weighed down by burdens, confusion, or doubt, those who are not able to stand on their own, so they need your assistance. Show us, God, how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help us be attentive to see, to hear, and accept and understand how your touch can free them from the situations and circumstances which seem to hold them down, unable to be all you desire that they be. We especially want to lift up the families of those who've been involved in the accidents recently. Lord, they may not know that you want to love them and to heal them and to bless them and then finally to use them. Give us opportunities and ways to communicate with them. And we lift up Logan, God, praising you for this opportunity he has to return home And we pray that you will continue to bless him with strength and understanding, grace. We pray for those who continue to grieve the loss of loved ones, family members, friends, circumstances that have given them a loss of job or home. We know the toll that grief brings to hearts, minds, families, and congregation. It's only your Holy Spirit that can provide the deep comfort, the special hope that we need to guide us through it. And as always, God, we're thankful for the privilege, the power, and the promise of your response to our prayers. Because we pray all of our prayers, whether they are spoken aloud or simply uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the blessed name of Jesus, your Son. For he's the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we pause for a moment to consider how to best share our resources, what criteria do we use? It seems Jesus was naturally drawn to folks with needs, those with affliction, those in pain, those without the ways and means to improve their lives. So one reason that we choose to support the work of the church is to provide others who have needs with an opportunity to improve their health and experience healing and wholeness. By supporting the work of our congregation, we enable those with needs to be filled with hope and empowered to overcome stress and discomfort. Just as Jesus helped this bent over woman stand up straight, working together, we can help others find value, worth, dignity, encouragement, and strength to become more than they could have otherwise. Sharing our resources truly reflects God's love and forgiveness and grace to a hurting world. Let us pray God's blessings on the offerings we've already made today. Dear God, remind us of your great love for all people, especially for those who are oppressed in mind, body, or spirit. Grant us courage to take our stand for them each day. We ask you to bless our energies and efforts, as well as our gifts of time, talent, and resources to bring healing and help to all who want to stand up for your kingdom on earth. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. So next I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together, Standing on the Promises. It's on the other side of your insert.
standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.
Let us join together in our benediction and blessing. Having been welcomed with grace, let us go forth to offer freedom, hospitality, and inclusion to all that we encounter. Having listened to God's word, let us go forth to practice what we have learned. Having been set free by God's Holy Spirit, let us go forth to live as sisters and brothers with all people. Amen.